This is Lee Chambers.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Kasia Brzezinska. That's correct, Kasia,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is correct. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, lovely to see you here. Now, you're giving a talk as part of the Festival of Ideas. This talk is on the 20th of October. It's titled From Selfies to Runes, How Do We Want to Be Remembered? So what will you be talking about?
Yes, so it's more of an interactive workshop than a talk per se. And so our workshop is looking at the different ways in which people have tried to present themselves throughout history and how they want to be remembered. So we really want to get people thinking about why they present themselves in a particular way and how they have and how that has changed over time. And we're doing this by taking them on a journey through time. So we're starting with selfies in the present and going all the way back in time to runes and Vikings. And the workshop is interactive, so we're breaking up our talks with different activities. I don't want to give too much away.
No, don't give too much away. No, this sounds great. So who is this talk aimed at?
So it's aimed at all ages, really. I mean, I think we said ages 12 plus. I think it might appeal to teenagers or young people in particular because they're the ones who are kind of used to this selfie culture. They use social media much more than perhaps older people. But it's open to everyone from the age of 12 onwards.
And why does this subject interest you?
So I'm a historian. I work on 18th century Polish history and memoirs. And memoirs are really a great form of self-representation. And you can kind of see how people have tried to present themselves when reading that kind of text. So for me, I'm just interested in the topic of self-representation. And I think going sort of from selfies all the way through time, you can get a sense of that.
Well, there's an issue about honesty, I suppose, isn't there, which you must come across in memoir. You know, how much do we believe what we're being told?
Yes, that's very true. I think a lot of it is about how we want people to think about us rather than how we actually are. And that's something that's very much present in memoirs. If you're writing for a particular audience, you want to present yourself in a particular way. But it's also very true of social media and selfies. For example, when you take a selfie, you might then go and edit it to make yourself look a little bit better than you might do in real life. So it's very true. There's that question of honesty and how far we sort of go with stretching the truth is a very pertinent one, I think.
And if we go right back to the beginning, you're talking about runes there. Were people stretching the truth then?
Yes. So I have to admit, I'm not an expert on runes. So my colleague, Caitlin Ellis, who's in the Department of Anglo-Saxon, Norse and Celtic here at Cambridge, she's the expert on that area. But runes were basically, as far as I know, they were sort of inscriptions on stone, which wealthy people would commission. And so they would use them as a way of presenting themselves in a more positive way, I suppose, for the generations to come.
So what counts as self-presentation then? I mean, you're mentioning runes there. Things like graffiti, does that count?
I guess to an extent you could say that graffiti would count. I think it depends if you're using that graffiti to present an image of yourself or perhaps of someone else. So I think that's the difference. But things like self-portraits count as self-representation. In our workshop, we also talk about portraits which were commissioned. So they weren't necessarily painted by the person who is in the painting, but the person, such as a king or queen, might have paid a lot of money for them to be presented in a particular way by the artist.
And when photography came along, was that a game changer? I'm guessing it was.
Yes, very much so. And we also talk about the first selfie in our workshop, which was created at the beginning of the 19th century, mid sort of 19th century. So yes, that very much changed.
Mid 19th century, the first selfie.
Yes, 1830s, I believe.
The first time somebody turned the camera on themselves.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But the photography very much changed the ability for people to present themselves because it opened it up to a much wider range of people. Previously, it would have been the very wealthy who would have been able to project lasting images of themselves to the world. And now everyone with a smartphone has access to that if they want to.
And people want to present themselves in a certain way because they're aware of how they'll be judged. I guess that's, you know, what the photoshopping is all about. That's always been true, that people have always judged others, I guess.
Yes, yes, I think so. I think it's one of those things that is a constant through time. I mean, we live in a society and we always, we're social creatures, so we always think about the way that other people will perceive us, even if we do so subconsciously. I think that's always in the back of our minds.
So people have always made comments about portraits and things like that, because people are obviously very quick now. As the minute somebody tweets a picture of themselves, everybody piles in to have their say. Has that always been the case?
Yes. I mean, I think that's something that's a little bit more difficult to track, because obviously today you can see the comments if you look on, you know, Twitter or other social media sites, whereas before perhaps people would have talked amongst themselves. But some people who wrote diaries, for example, would note down their reaction to a particular painting or a particular well-known figure in their diary or memoir. So that has definitely existed, but I think on a less accessible scale for us to study.
And where do you think this is going, Kasia? Because now, you know, we can set up YouTube channels, people can see us, everything, warts and all, as well as through pictures, other pictures on social media. Do you think that's it, or do you think it will evolve even further? And if so, where?
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting question, and it's one that we would like our audience to think about at the workshop as well. We would like people to think of themselves as historians, so in 200 years' time, say, looking at the artefacts that they've left behind through social media, through the images that they've left behind, and to think about how someone in the future would think about them. So I'm not going to answer your question fully, because I'd like the audience to think about that question at our workshop.
You've been thinking about it, though.
I have been thinking about it, and I'm not really sure where it's going. I mean, I think it's going to continue being, you know, the way that we present ourselves to the world through social media. I think it's going to continue growing, but where we'll be in 200 years' time, we'll have to wait and see, I suppose.
And do you think memoir has changed now? Because, I mean, there have been very famous cases of memoirs being revealed, really, as not being truthful. And then the memoirists were saying, well, it was a kind of truth. You know, you believed it, which made it true. I mean, the whole issue of truth almost seems up for grabs.
Yes, very much so. I mean, I think with the genre of memoir in general, what makes it interesting isn't necessarily the truth. So we can still learn a lot about someone, even if they're not presenting the truth, because perhaps it might be the things that they're not talking about or the things that they're hiding that can tell us a lot more. I can give you an example from history if you're interested. I studied in the past an 18th century British courtesan called Harriet Wilson. And she published her memoirs in 1825 to blackmail her former lovers. And what she would do is she would send out letters warning them about what was to come. And if they didn't want to be included, then they would pay up. If they didn't pay up, then she would include them in her text.
That's early kiss and tell, really,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And so from the memoirs, you can see who paid up because they weren't included. There were other ways of tracing whether they were involved with her or not, and who did. And the Duke of Wellington was one of her former lovers, and her portrayal of him in her memoirs is really not very favourable. So that's an interesting way of looking at truth, I suppose.
That sounds fascinating.
Memoirs.
What's your favourite memoir?
My favourite memoir? Harriet Wilson's is one of my favourites, but I'm currently working on an 18th century Polish lady who wrote memoirs which talk a lot about politics at the time, and I think she's my current favourite because she's my PhD subject.
Love it. Oh, well, thank you so much. Lovely to talk to you, Kasia. So that's at the 20th of October, 12:45
yes.
to 1:45. But people can find out more information and how to book, because it is best to book, isn't it?
Yes,
just to be on
yes.
the safe side, at festivalofideas.cam.ac.uk. Thank you, Kasia, very much for coming in.